Tonight, I'd like to begin by way of introduction and to see, and let us see again together the commendation given by our Lord Jesus Christ about John the Baptist. We already read some of them as we read together. First, he was a firm, resolute man, not wavering in his principles, nor even in his conversation. Remember, he was put to prison. He never turns back on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, even though he got lost, and yet the Lord answered those doubts by sending his disciples back, that the Lord has power over death, over Satan, about all types of sicknesses, all types of difficulties, all types of arguments, and all types of fightings within and without. He is the Lord of all. He can deal with all life's problems and all types of war within the family, within the nation. And he can deal all types of terrorism and criminality all over the world. Therefore, we should not actually panic and we should not worry what will happen, because this morning we have such a timely verse with what's echoed again and again. Be still and know that I am God. I want to stop from there, but I've got to speak again tonight, because the Word of God makes us realize how we should be dependent upon Him. So this man, John the Baptist, is not wavering in his principles nor his conversation. He was a self-denying man. He was more than a prophet, according to verse 9. For prophets of old spoke and prophesied about the coming of the Messiah, this is our Lord Jesus Christ. But John announced our Lord Jesus Christ as, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who taken away the sins of the world." There was not a greater born of women than John the Baptist, according to verse 11. We have just read together. Christ knew how to value, for he knows our minds and our hearts and the tendency and proneness to sin. Even though we are sinners, he still believed the value of our soul and turned that value, that soul, into some useful vessel in God's kingdom. Take, for example, the Apostle Paul. He's the most terrifying persecutor of our Lord Jesus Christ. But on the road of Damascus, on his task to persecute our Lord Jesus Christ's followers, the Lord Jesus humbled him. Bright light that cannot be compared to the sun. He was blinded. And that is the turning point of his life. He could not do any other decision but to humble himself. "Lord, what will I do with my life?" And the Lord said to him, "I'm going to turn you into a useful vessel in my kingdom." And until now, the letters that he wrote are being used by God. In fact, from the book of Romans and some book of Acts up to the Hebrews are speaking strongly and strengthening the faith of God's people. As if Paul is alive speaking to us. So Christ knew how to value our worth, because even though we are sinners, saved by grace, He knows how to turn our soul into His full vessel. That's why, according, as I said, Christ knew how to value persons according to the degree of their worth, and He prepares John before all that went before him, and of all that God had raised up and called to any service in His church. The John the Baptist is the most prominent among them all. Now, we are told that John the Baptist was in prison, and Matthew chapter 4 verse 12 recorded for us that Jesus heard John's suffering and his doubts as well. Well, of course, as I said, and as you read, there is something in the earlier part of chapter 11. When you go back to it, they were all answered by the Lord. And that our Lord heard of his suffering, and John himself heard the good report of the Lord Jesus' amazing, miraculous public ministry. And no doubt, he was glad to hear them and encouraged himself in the Lord about them. Nothing is more comfortable to God's people in distress than to hear the works of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even today, the business of saving the worst of people and recycling them into the most useful vessel in God's kingdom. So, let's not be discouraged, because all the works of our Lord Jesus Christ, since His earthly ministry until now, there's no difference in how He can minister to you. Needs today. However, from verse 11, we are told, again, I repeat, no man ever fulfilled God's given purpose better than John. Yet in God's coming kingdom, all members of the body of Christ will have a greater spiritual heritage than John. We are all equal at this point, because each one of us, and they were ahead of us, they will have seen and known Christ and His finished work on the cross. In verse 14, we are told that John was not a resurrected Elijah, but he took Elijah's prophetic role, boldly confronting sin and pinpointing people to God, according to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Moving from verse 16 to 19, our Lord Jesus condemned the multitude of His generation. No matter what He said or did, they took the opposite view. They opposed Him. In His most colorful way of describing them, they were cynical and skeptical because He challenged their comfortable, secure, and self-centered life. No wonder a lot of people doesn't want to be changed despite hearing the gospel. They don't want to change their way of life. They don't want to change their comfort zone. All day, and the words of sinners. God can still change the words of sinners today. We are also reminded that in verse 21 to 24, there is a short Jewish history that we already read a while ago, that Tyre and Sidon and Sodom were ancient cities with a long-standing wickedness. You want to read about this in Genesis chapter 18 and 19, you can see those background, and Ezekiel 27 and 28. it was destroyed by God for their wicked and evil generation. The people of Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum saw Jesus first, as we are reading it. And yet, they stubbornly refused to repent of their sins and believe in him. Jesus said that if some of the wickedness, or the wickedness, the most wicked, I'm using that word superlative, if some of the most wicked sins in the world had seen him, they would have repented. Because Bethsaida, Chorazin, Capernaum saw Jesus and didn't believe. They would suffer, because they don't believe, they would suffer greater punishment than that of the wicked cities who didn't see him, who didn't see Jesus. Similarly, nations and cities with churches today, in every corner of the world, and Bibles in every home, that the Trinitarian Bible Society continues to print and distribute, they will have no excuse on Judgment Day. We who are sitting and holding our Bible, we have no excuse whatsoever. If we are not willing to be changed, we are to glory. In verse 25, we are told that Jesus mentioned two kinds of people in his prayer. The wise, the prudent, and the wise. It's a form of sarcasm about these scribes and Pharisees. They taught the people burdensome laws that they themselves cannot keep. But the Lord Jesus continued to minister the Sabbath day, which is prohibiting every Jewish people not to work any work on Sabbath day. The arrogant, the wise and the prudent are arrogant in their knowledge. It refers to these scribes and the Pharisees who put more burden than they themselves can do and perform. And the little children, or the babes, are those people who are humbly open to receiving the word of God and realizing that only God holds the answers to their questions and doubts. As a result of this sinfulness, and we all carry it ourselves, of the inherited sinfulness nature of our first parents, now, life is full of burden, the pressures, and disappointments, and all struggles because of the result of sin. Many people are weary, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Some are burdened by sin, and the fear of the nuclear war or nuclear threat that is inevitable if the world powers will not use their practical mind. So that the preaching of the gospel only can stop this. And of course, our sovereign God who is in control. So with all this resulting of sin's effect upon our lives, we continually to have these difficulties and struggles, family troubles, financial difficulties, and unanswered questions. Yet, in the middle of human struggle and looking for meaning in this life, one of the sweetest ever spoken by our Jesus Christ is found in this verse that we have read. which starts in verse 28. And this is the key verse of our reading. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. This is not an invitation to a religious group or affiliation. This is not an invitation to a tradition or ritual ceremony. It is an invitation to a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus calls the weary. When He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Those are the weary people, the brokenhearted, the tired people. Are you tired of life? Because of unanswered desire and dreams? Let's put a comma. If you are tired of life, the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are tired, all who are heavy laden and continue to labor, I have something for you tonight. And the burden to come to Him is a promise of true rest, everlasting rest. So in these verses that we have read from from the key verses 11, 28 to 30, we see wonderful promises. Two wonderful promises and three important steps for every believer to follow. And the first promise is our immediate possession. I'll give you rest. In verse 28. There's no but, there's no if. It's an immediate possession to those who will confess before God and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So Jesus first promises an immediate rest to their soul, to those who come to Him. And this rest speaks of the peace that cannot be described. It's an indescribable peace which we can enjoy life to the fullest. Peace with God, forgiveness of sin, relief from guilt and condemnation. Guilt as a way of causing different types of depression and moving away from the truths of God's word. If you have some unrepentant sin, harden not your hearts. Because if we continue to have wicked sin in our heart, the Lord will not answer our prayer. And that sense of condemnation will not be removed until sin is repented of and confessed firstly before the Lord Jesus Christ. And this rest also speaks of the comfort for the troubled heart. Are you troubled tonight because of the confession and unsatisfied desire? Here in this promise is the offer itself, in verse 28, that is made to us already, and an invitation to accept it with its true value. Okay? We accept it, and that invitation is open to everyone now. We are invited to our Lord Jesus Christ as not only as Savior, but as our priest, our prince, and our prophet. Remember how Peter was dealt with our Lord Jesus Christ, although he denied him three times? I pray for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail you, but when you recover, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. That's how we should be to each other. We must come to Jesus Christ for our true everlasting rest and continue to rest ourselves in Him, according to verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor. And the character of the persons invited, all that labor and are weary, we must show this to God, that we are weary of our sin and not to cover them up. This is a word in season to him that is weary, that is tired of sin and of this life. But it is to be understood as the burden of sin. Both the guilt and the power of sin itself. And those only are invited to rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. That are sensible of their sin. We must be serious about the sin that we do. Some sin are remain unconfessed because we are afraid, we are embarrassed. But God is always listening there to confess our sin. We must be sensible of the burden of sin that we carry and grow under it. And that not only convinced of the sin, of the evilness of sin, and of their own sin, but are contrite in our soul for it, that are really sick of their sin. This is a word that prepare us for repentance and pardon. Let me just go bring back to you about the wickedness of sin and its seriousness. That's in Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5. Look at it. If you have a ballpen, try to mark it out. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yes. Of man was only evil continually. And while you are sitting there, and when you go out, the devil will actually take away the seed, the good seed of the gospel, and will send you a doubt. Did God really say that? That is the greatest lie that our first mother believed the devil. And continually doing that lie. He presents that lie every moment so that we will not continue to grow and be useful in God's kingdom. That's why the Lord Jesus continually say, come unto me, come unto me. Are you willing to come tonight? In the exposition of the imagination of the heart continually? We must be convinced of the evil effect of sin and its consequences to our soul. The moment a sinner comes to Christ in faith, there is an immediate spiritual relief. Salvation is not earned through human effort. It is received through grace. Many people try to carry their burdens they were never meant to bear. Despite of this, Jesus says, when he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, who are tired of life, bring your burden to me. Bring your failures to me. Bring your worries and struggles to me. Bring your depression. depression, depressive moments to me. Bring your brokenness to me. Let's remember our Lord Jesus Christ alone can answer all this predicament, all these forms, all this burdensome effect of sin in our lives. The world offers temporary escape. Our job, try to do it. Our properties, our savings, our insurance, try to temporarily give relief of this. But only the Lord Jesus Christ can give the real cure. And that brings us to the necessity of recognizing the second verse, which is in verse 29. You shall find rest to your soul. What is the first words on there? In verse 29, look at it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. We cannot just find rest without recognizing the command of our Lord Jesus Christ to take your yoke and learn from him, because he said what? He's meek. He does not remember our sin against us. Like those in the family, when we fail again, they continually bombard us of our failure and drive people mad, because people cannot forgive sin and try to reinforce the badness of our sins. Let's not do that, because we are all dependent upon Christ's forgiveness. So learn to come to Christ. If your yoke is so heavy, go to him, because he made those yoke in his comfort to himself. And his yoke is so easy. The rest, the first rest is the rest of salvation. The second rest is the rest of daily fellowship and surrender. As believers walk with Christ after recognizing the effect of our sin and receive peace, we continue to obey him and learn from him and progressively discover this second promise. So this rest from verse 29 is a rest in all our troublesome and trial every day, every moment of our lives. Even in suffering, in the uncertainty of our future and the days ahead of us, in our daily spiritual battle, Christ has the answer. Let's remember that Christian life is not free from day-by-day challenges, but is filled with the sustaining grace and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to Christ as our ruler when he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of him. His yoke is rulership and total control of our lives and submitting ourselves to him. Take my yoke upon you. The rest he promises is a release from the continuous drudgery of sin, not from the service of God, because he gives that rest. He empowered us as we serve him. It is Christ's yoke, the yoke he has appointed, a yoke he has himself drawn before us, for he learned obedience, for which he does by his Spirit drawn in with us, for he added our infirmities according to 8 verse 6. A yoke speaks of some hardship, but if the beast itself, not only the caravan or the horse or the donkey, but we ourselves has learned to move the yoke, which only Christ can help us with this yoke. Now, this is the hardest part of our lesson, and therefore it is qualified in verse 30. My yoke is what? It's easy, and my burden is light. The yoke of Christ command is an easy yoke. There is nothing in it to go or irritate the yielding believer or the yielding neck. Nothing to hurt us, but on the contrary, it's much to refresh us. It is a yoke that is lined with love. It may be a little hard at first, but it is easy afterwards, because the love of God will make it easy. Let's remember, this world is not our permanent citizenship. We are registered in heaven already the moment we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's why in this world we cannot find true happiness. Only our bound to heaven, a place in heaven, can. And the daily imagination of it, daily personalizing it and experiencing it, will make that yoke easy. The more we walk with Christ, the more we discover that His grace is sufficient, that His strength is enough, that His peace surpasses all understanding. Further, before we can come to Christ, we must fully understand what He requires of us. There's a requirement. It's not just, you know, something we want to, you know, rest and try to say a general prayer. First, in Mark 2:17, I came to call the righteous, He said, but sinners to repentance. The call to sinners to repentance is to call them to repent by faith, not with your own strength, by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ came into this world to save sinners, according to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. What kind of sinners does Christ call? Those whom He calls to repentance. He calls to faith. Those whom He calls to faith, so that they might believe. Those are described as sinners. They are the opposite of righteous. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners, according to Luke chapter 5, verse 32. Who then are the righteous? Well, the scripture tells us that there are two kinds of righteous people. First are those who believe that they are righteous in themselves and look down on other people. Any man who trusts in himself that he is righteous will never be called by Christ to believe, because he knows the heart. So long as a man thinks that he is good enough in himself, that he has nothing to fear because he is depending on his own strength, that man has no right or warrant to believe, because he believes in himself. He never believed about the power of Christ through His Holy Spirit. The second case is the man described in another context by Paul as one who is ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish his own, according to Romans 10, verse 3. This man might acknowledge that he is not perfect, but he looks to gain righteousness by performing the works of the law. It's like the people in Galatians. For example, he goes about establishing his own righteousness people today establish their own righteousness by the good works. Now, Christ does not call such people as this to be leader. Either those righteous people have no right to believe because they are dependent upon their own good work, their self-righteousness. Who then does equal? Well, the lost sinners. Says our Lord Jesus Christ, you are lost sinners whom I call. The Lord Jesus said, therefore, what is absolutely necessary to come to Christ? To be quite convinced that you are a sinner as to your state and your behavior. That you are not righteous in yourself and have no hope of being righteous in yourself. If a man is not really convinced that he is not righteous, he is under the call of Christ. He is not under the call of Christ. But if someone does believe this, he is under the sovereign grace of Christ. And such a person should not despair and not feel hopeless. And another requirement is to realize that those who are well have no need of physician, and those only who are sick, according to Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. As we all understand, there are two things which a sick person goes to a doctor. A man who is sick put up with illness. Yet, uneasiness will make him visit the doctor. And Christ said, I came for those people who cannot find any rest or ease in their present condition. Perhaps they have often tried to other remedies and found nothing that helps. They are still sick right now. Their conscience is pricking them. Their hearts are burdened continually, and they have no peace. They have to find relief, or they will never be free from this burden. Then secondly, there is the fear that the illness might be fatal. This certainly sends a sick person to the doctor. When you feel that your sickness is so fatal, that immediate call to the ambulance will bring you quick to sort you out. There is the fear that the illness might be fatal. This is the only moment that a very sick person will call the doctor. So when the soul is made uneasy in its condition and find no rest, he will think and say to himself, if I stay like this, I shall be lost forever. This is the soul that our Lord Jesus Christ called, humbly accepting that we are sinners and need to be saved, and placed to our real doctor's care. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we all learn that we are not only called to come, but to take the yoke. A yoke represents submission, partnership, and obedience. To take Christ's yoke means to submit to His will, to have His rulership or ownership be upon you. And to walk in obedience, to allow Him to direct our steps, so that we need to talk to Him in prayer. That's why prayer is so important. We need to attend to the captain to our soul and ask Him to direct our journey every day. The yoke of sin is so heavy. The yoke of the world is so painful. The yoke of Christ is the more easiest one because He carries the greater weight when He died on that cross. When we are yoked with Jesus Christ, we do not walk alone. We do not fight alone. We do not carry the burdens alone. In your observation, when people are carrying luggage, going up the steps of every station, there are people who are willing to help, isn't it? They ask, can I help? Tonight, is the Lord Jesus Christ actually saying, can I help you? Yes, Lord, I need your help. Carry my burden. Carry my sin. My depression, my sickness, my financial problem, my debts. So Jesus continually freed people from all their burdens. And he's promising his love and healing grace and peace with God. And not the end of all labor. We are not asking the end of our labor because we are still in this world. But we are able to manage our lives successfully, happily, adequately, with the grace of God. And lastly, we must learn. We must learn the life of Christ. We must learn His character. We must learn His humility. We must learn His patience. We must learn His obedience to the Father. Remember a while ago, only the Lord Jesus Christ, who truly is, is the Father. And nobody knows the Father except Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who also preaches. Nobody can do that. So all our situations are actually hands of the Trinitarian God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We must learn how to talk to our Heavenly Father. Ending our prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, depending upon the power of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual battle. So the closer we grow with Christ, the greater peace we will experience. Dearly beloved, why from sunshine of love wilt thou roam? Harder and farther away? Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Calling today. Bring him thy burdens, and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn away from thee. In fact, he is always waiting for each one of us to call. If we are asking for help to these people who are willing to carry our luggage, Jesus is saying, come! Don't harden your heart tonight. If you're not sure of your salvation, come to Christ. Come to Christ tonight. You will have that assurance, that eternal life. Jesus is waiting. Remember that. Oh, come now. Waiting today. Come with thy sin, but his feet lowly bow. No longer delay. Don't delay, dearly beloved. You who are watching and hearing our child, don't delay to surrender yourself to Christ as your Lord and Savior. Calling today. Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling today. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Don't delay your decision. Deliver that. Our Lord Jesus is waiting. Bring the challenge to you at home if you are embarrassed in praying. God knows our spiritual needs. So, little beloved, let's respond tonight because Jesus is calling you tonight and today. Last, let's respond even as we